in the entire process, but that of the Jnana Brahmananda, Nirgana Brahmananda, Srila Prabhupada, Maharaj, and all the Asana devotees, we distributed 503 transcendental
books. How many Gitas? How many Gitas and how many, do you have any counts? And
most of them I chanted, we have these because that was going really well with the parade and inviting them. And we did a lot of talk.
Very nice.
Hare.
Yeah. Because of Adichandarayan Prabhu's hard work and the hard work of all the members of our community, we're amongst the four top temples in the United States. It's interesting, amongst those four temples, we account for 52% of book distribution in the United States. Pretty good, isn't it? So we're going to strive to be number one. So we're going to try to defeat all the other temples. That would be very nice. Because Prabhupada very much encouraged transcendental competition. And it's not mundane. When devotees are competing to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna becomes very pleased, Prabhupada is very pleased. And this is part of spiritual life. Spiritual life doesn't mean to become simply without any emotions or any feelings. It means to actually have the same things we have here, just like here you're very attracted to football games or maybe cricket games or whatever games you're attracted to. From the spiritual world, there's also football, cricket, baseball, what else? Bowling. What's that? Yeah. Everything is there in the spiritual world. So, anyway, so there's also competition. People are competing. It's a little loud.
Right.
Okay, just leave it. Yeah, then it's not very clear. It's very bassy.
Hare Krishna.
All right. How's this? No, same thing. You got to turn the bass down on the amplifier and the treble up. Bass down, treble up. That sounds a little better. Did you do that?
Yeah,
you can hear better? Because when it's bassy, it's very hard to understand what someone's saying.
Okay,
so we also want to apologize for being so hot here. Of course, you do get a free sauna bath during the class. We don't charge any money for it. But this week, they're going to look into fixing the AC, and there's something not happening quite right with it. But we have a lot of construction going on, as many of you have seen downstairs. We're going to get a major, big, very, very big kitchen for distributing more prasadam. The Didi paraphernalia room is going to be very big. And that everything is increasing here in Nugaloka. Of course, the school, as we mentioned before, it's pretty much finished. We're just lacking the certificate of occupancy right now. And it's exciting. And eventually we'll develop the property across the street, which belongs to us. And we're completely debt-free, which is good. No debts, except debts to our spiritual master. We owe an eternal debt to His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. But that debt is nice to pay off. It's not a question that we have to declare spiritual bankruptcy at a particular point. So we're going to continue today with discussion of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's eight prayers known as the Shikshastika prayers. We did the first two prayers, Shikshastika means the eight prayers of instruction. We did the first two prayers last week, and maybe we'll do another two or maybe another three today. First we'll chant Jai Radha Madhava.
Kunnarihale
Parvatikacharya also tell us that she, Shivad, this divine grace of Ayachananda Bhaktivinanda Goswami Srila Prabhupada Jaya. ISKCON founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Jaya. Ananda Goti Vaishnava Vrindi Jaya. Namacharya Srila Puja Sakura Jaya. And say, Goho Shri Krishna Chaitanya. Rabba Nityananda, she's way to get out, huh? She must be gold, Bhakta Vrin, Nikijaya, Shishi, Radhakrishna, Go, Bhagavata, Sayam, Kun, Radhakunda, Giri, Go, Vrindavan, Kijaya, Vrindavan, Kijaya, Jurdam, Kijaya, Navaditam, Kijaya, Jagadavasami, Kijaya, Yuvanamai, Kijaya, Shimati, Lassi, Kijaya, Bhakta Vrin, Nikijaya, Go, Rapranganda, All glories to some of the devotees. All glories to some of the devotees. All glories to some of the devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Jai. Okay? So Om Ganatamidandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Nirikam Yena Tasmai Shigave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who has so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So we're going to continue with our discussion of the Shikshastra. First of all, for those of you who may be new, I'm going to describe, I guess nobody here is really that new. I'm going to describe who Lord Chaitanya is, I guess. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself in the mood of Srimati Radharani, and he appeared approximately a little more than 500 years ago to teach the Yuga Dharma, which is Krishna Nam Sankirtan. And in order to be perfect in the Yuga Dharma, you have to learn the techniques of the Yuga Dharma. Now, in the previous Yugas, you had different Yuga Dharmas. You had meditational yoga, and time there were only one or two postures or asanas, not like nowadays, and hundreds, thousands of different asanas that are unbelievable. So that was meditational yoga. In the second age, in the Treta Yuga, it was opulent sacrifices, which required tons and tons and tons of ghee and gold. Nowadays, when people put gold in a sacrifice, they take it back right afterwards to themselves to purify themselves, purify the gold so they can spend it on themselves. Or when people even offer something to Krishna, then they take it back. There's an expression in English, and a reference to American Indians is called an Indian giver. Indian giver means someone who gives something and takes it back. So we should not become like that. When we give something to Krishna, don't take it back. If you give Krishna your body, mind, words, life, soul, and everything, don't take it back. It's not a good idea. Because the debt collector will come. That's Krishna. And eventually collect it from you. So, and then in the Dwarpa Yuga was opulent temple worship. So we do all those things, because we do meditate, we do temple worship, we do sacrifice, but it's very minimal. But there's Kali Yuga, Krishna Nam Sankirtan, Kali Kalera Dharma, Krishna Nam Sankirtan. But Krishna Shakti Vinana He Kari Varakana, one has to have the Shakti of Krishna to do this Yuga Dharma, this Krishna Nam Sankirtan. So the Shakti of Krishna comes from following Lord Chaitanya's instructions on how to do Sankirtan. The word Sankirtan means congregational chanting. Not only that, it means complete absorbed chanting. Those two things. Congregational chanting means with other people. Complete absorbed chanting means so absorbed in the holy name that you are picturing your eternal spiritual identity while you're chanting. Can anyone do that? Well, you can, by the way. You can picture your spiritual identity while you're chanting. So you do that. So. The rest of us, we're just struggling. Chanchala, Imanaha, Pramati, Bhagavad, Dridam, Tajaham, Nigraham, Manye, Bayor, Iva, Shidushkuram. As Arjuna says in the Gita, the mind is what? You know the verse? Anyone know the verse? Yes, restless, turbulent, and obstinate. What does obstinate mean? Stubborn. Like a mule. The mind is like a mule. Or an ASS. Anyway, stubborn. Stubborn. You know, this won't do it. You know, come on, mind. So, that's the problem. So we're struggling with the mind and the senses, Malakshasthani, Vyani, Prakriti, Shani, Karshati. So Lord Chaitanya teaches us how to conquer the mind. Because if one who conquers the mind, Krishna says in the Gita, the super soul is already reached. Who is the super soul? Is he a hero that we read about or see in the movies? Maybe you could watch some Mahabharata. But he has a big S on his chest. No. a super soul is Krishna in the heart. And Krishna is basically telling you what would be good for you. And you're basically saying, just be quiet. Or in Hindi, chuparo. Anyway, let me shut up. Or a short chup. Right? So you're saying to Krishna, I don't want to hear you. You know, I know what's best for myself. And Krishna says, I know what's best for you. So anyway, so when you reach the super soul, you can find out what's best for yourself and you can be happy. So that's the advantage of chanting nicely and having the mind under control. So Lord Chaitanya teaches us through the process of Sharanagati, which is what Sharanagati means, surrender. But surrender is actually a very difficult word to digest. In other words, if I say surrender to me, you go. Krishna says, Sarvadharman pushes up, Ome Kham Saranam Bhara. Say, ooh. But I have so many other things to do. So therefore, this Sharanagati to Krishna is very blissful because it's just loving exchange. And it's our true spiritual nature. Mami Vangsa Ivaloka Jivabhuta Samantha. So, the first two verses, which we went over last week, were basically, the first one is like an introductory verse, telling you the glories of the Holy Name, that it cleanses the heart. It's the most auspicious thing. It helps us have a taste for the ecstasy that we've always been anxious for, right? And so that's basically the glorification of the Holy Name, which is called Sambandha Gyan. That means, what is the Holy Name? And then you start to get into Abhideya. Abhideya means how to connect to the Holy Name, beginning with the second verse. And the second verse also glorifies the Holy Name in the beginning. It says, the verse says that actually, Krishna, you're present in all your holy names. You have thousands and millions of names, like Krishna, Govinda, etc. So many names. Even the name G-O-D is the name of God. But it's, what type of name? Does anyone remember last week what I said? It's a secondary name. It's not victory. Secondary name means a name that just describes someone's position. Like, for example, here's Gokulendra. So that's a primary name, Gokulendra, that's his name. If I say, hey, Brahmachari, that's a secondary name. He's actually an endangered species. He's the only one here is a Brahmachari. So he has to be protected by the U.S. government. We do not allow. Anyway, I won't tell you what we don't allow. But anyway, so that's a secondary name is Brahmachari. You, hey you, Brahmachari. I'm referring to the same person, but it's secondary. Gokulendra is primary. Or if we knew his identity, hey, so-and-so Manjari or something like Manjari. Or so-and-so cow, then it would be a primary name too. So, therefore, there are different names and they're all powerful and potent primary, secondary names. Of course, primary names have more connection. And then at the end of the second verse, we find Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaching us that we should lament because we have no real taste for the holy names. Just like if one has a particular disease called jaundice. Anyone here ever have jaundice? I'm sure some of you have been in India have had jaundice, right? No? Jaundice, it's a liver disease. And when you have it, guess what? You don't like sugar. Everybody else likes sugar, right? Sugar is sweet. And so are you. But anyway, sugar, that's not cute. So everybody likes sugar, but when you have jaundice, you don't like sugar. So you're lamenting. Someone brings you this wonderful halava, plate of halava, and it tastes bitter to you. Yuck. And you can't eat it. Wow. That's a problem, isn't it? So, the point is, the cure for jaundice is you keep eating sugar until you like it. And you will, eventually. And also, you have to take some other medicine, too, like antibiotics and antivirals and things like that. That's another issue. So, we have the spiritual jaundice right now. So, for us to continually chant Krishna's name and remember Krishna, after a while, or after 2 seconds, we're thinking, let me get back to my real life, you know, watching the news or go to some movie. You know, what is this? Hare Krishna, just saying the same thing over and over again. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Don't we have another mantra? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Can't you add a few more words? Like me, or something like that. You know, why do we have to keep singing the same song over and over again? Just like if, you know, when I was young, I had listened to the radio, you know, the Top of the Pops or the Best 10 songs. And after a while, they have to keep replacing them because they get boring after a while. So the holy names, for many of us, we may get bored. And it's described that this is because our hearts are steel-framed. Bhagavatam discusses this. So we don't have a taste. So we should be lamenting. Why? I'm coming in contact with the source of all pleasure, the reservoir of all pleasure. Can you imagine a reservoir? Reservoir means that from which everything comes, in a reservoir. Like you have water, the water is a reservoir, either underground or a reservoir above ground. So if you have a complete water supply, a complete bliss supply, and we don't have any taste for it, we better start lamenting. We better go to the doctor. Right? You have jaundice. Go to the doctor. So if you don't have a taste for chanting the holy name, you don't go to UNC, Chapel Hill. Hopefully not. You go to a spiritual doctor. The spiritual doctor means guru. And you say, my dear Guru Maharaj, I do not have a taste for chanting. What should I do? And he'll give you the medicine, a prescription. Here's my prescription pad. Take 2 sweet balls and call me in the morning. No, he won't say that. But he'll say, here's what, he'll ask you, you know, what are you doing? How are you interacting with different Vaishnavas? Did you commit an offense? Did you offend Prashadam? Did you not wake up early? You know, what's happening with you? And so he'll ask you a few questions, like doctors do. Isn't it? Doctors ask questions. Nowadays, doctors can only see you for 5 minutes, and then they have to see 20 patients in 1 hour. I know that because I know some doctors. And so, but the guru will take a little more time with you. It'll analyze your situation and tell you what you need to do. And so, that's what we're going to get to next. Number 3 is the prescription on the pad. And this is hard. This is a hard one. So, maybe we can chant this all together. Is everybody ready? We can chant together. Trinada Pisanichena Dororiva Shahishtuna Amanina Manajena Yirtiras Sadahari. So I'm not going to do the word by word, so we can read the translation together. One who thinks himself lower than the grass, who is more tolerant than a tree, and who does not expect personal honor, but is always prepared to give all respect to others, can very easily always chant the name of the Lord. So let's expound on this a little bit. Now, of course, this verse refers to a particular platform in devotional service called Nishta. As I mentioned last week, each and every verse refers to a particular platform, a hierarchy of advancement. The beginning was just like preliminary faith, then Sadhusanga, then Sadhusanga means association with saints, then following a few simple rules and regulations, and then you get rid of what? anarjana vritti, the things you don't like lust, anger, greed, illusion, and envy. And then you become steady. So this verse indicates the first step in becoming steady. Nishtha means steadiness. Now steadiness, according to the great teachers, what we call acharyas, means not only in your sadhana, sadhana means in your practice of Krishna consciousness, but means the rest of the day too. Because while you're doing your sadhana, you're preparing for the rest of the day being Krishna conscious. Because kirtaniyasadhari means always being Krishna conscious. So what is the use of waking up early morning and whenever you do your sadhana or practice, that after that you hang up your bee bag and hang up whatever else, paraphernalia, and then all hell breaks loose. That is not what we're prescribing. We're prescribing a whole lifestyle, 24/7. That means 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So that's called nishtha, steadiness. Now it takes some time to come to that platform of steadiness, especially as we mentioned before, the mind is like all over the place, lamenting, sochati, lamenting and hankering. Oh my God, I could have had such a nice life if I had not taken up spiritual life. I could have been a famous rock and roll star. I could have been an engineer. That's what my mother tells me all the time. You could have been a famous engineer and discovered how to do cold fusion and save the whole world. You know what that is, cold fusion? Yeah, some of the scientists know that. Or you could have become a doctor and saved the world. And look at you again. That's lamentation. And they go, oh yes. No, I don't do that yet. I'm happier than I could. Or hankering. Lamentation and hankering, right? These are the two of the diseases. So these keep us from being steady. So the cure for that is given by Lord Chaitanya in this verse. He says that one should be humble. So that's hard, isn't it? If I say, be humble. Okay, so you may think being humble means I'm hopeless, I'm useless, I'm a piece of unmentionable. So that you may think that means being humble. But actually being humble means not to think less of yourself, but to think of yourself less. Now, does everyone understand what that means? Not to think all these negative thoughts about yourself, but just basically not to think of yourself that very much. How do you do that? That's really hard. Don't think of yourself. Don't think of yourself. Don't think of yourself. Huh? That's mystery. So, because normally in this world, we are the center. Every man is the king of his castle. He doesn't realize the wife is actually the king, but we. Number one, you got to take care of number one first. That's right, number one. And even people have this philosophy. I remember when I was young, the philosophy, if a tree falls in a forest and I'm not there to see it, it didn't actually fall. You know, that really self-centeredness. Or even I get to the point of, I am God. I am the Lord of all. So, therefore, how to be humble? It's hard to be humble. And how to think of yourself less? The way is you think of someone else more. Just like a child. If a child is very naughty and you tell the child, don't do that, the child will go back to doing it as soon as you turn your back, right? So you have to replace, any psychologist, child psychologist knows this, you have to replace one activity with another activity. Let's say the child is doing something you don't like trying to drive your car. Then you get him a little toy car. Here, drive your own car. Or whatever. So we have to replace the self, and what do we replace it with? Krishna consciousness. Because you think more, But Krishna is very elevated up there. How do you think of Krishna more? Try to picture my spiritual identity. What should I do? No. We have Krishna's representative. It's like we have Srila Prabhupada here, who is a Shaktivesh avatar, came from the spiritual world. So I think of him. I think of pleasing him. Not just you think of someone. I mean, we can think of so many people. But you think of them in a mood of love. Just like a young man or young girl thinks of the other person in a mood of love. And when they think of them, they think of how to please them. And if a man who's in love, he goes shopping, he's thinking, looking at every piece of jewelry that he sees. I don't know. I'm a sannyasi. What do I know about these things? But anyway, I would assume. Am I right? Your wife? Where's your wife? She's not here. She's watching. I should focus the camera on you. So, I would assume that when one's in love, they're just like looking. I know when I go to pass a jewelry store, I think of, I'm not in love, don't worry. So I think of the deities. I think, wow, this would look good on the deities. Look good on Krishna. So everything I see becomes an impetus for remembering Krishna. And therefore I think of myself less. And I think of Krishna, Krishna's representative, Krishna's devotees, and I think of them in such a way as to please them. That's love. That's why we call this process bhakti yoga. The problem with hatha yoga, jnana yoga, sangha yoga, bhogi yoga, whatever kundalini yoga. Yoga. So with any of these types of yogas, is that you don't really have someone to focus on. It's just like, what are you going to focus on? I am that I am. You are that you are. I am what? No, still you're focusing on yourself. So you focus on Krishna and the other persons. And Lord Chaitanya gives us a second instruction in this verse. He says, to offer respects to others. How do you do that? Because how do you offer respects even to the aunt? The aunt, you know, like a little tiny aunt. Not your aunt, not your aunt. But a little tiny aunt. You see that Krishna's in their hearts. Their body, their manifestation is a temple of Krishna. Everybody's a walking temple of Krishna. You just have to clean the temples a little bit more. So they're walking temples of Krishna. You offer respects when you see anyone. It's like I was just riding the bus in New York. And New York is a very unique place, if anyone's been there. And there's people who are sometimes not so clean in the bus. There was one lady who was yelling and screaming on the bus, complaining about how the Hare Krishnas had this festival that blocked the street so the buses weren't running. You're just like, oh, I shouldn't have come to Manhattan today. All these festivals, and they blocked the streets. So, you know, the natural inclination is to think, what a rascal. So instead, we think that Krishna's in their hearts, and you pray for them. And you give them some prasadam, or you give them some good advice, chant Hare Krishna. My mother was there, she gave the lady some advice, she said, calm down. It didn't calm the lady down, but I should have given the advice, here's some prasadam, here's some whatever. So in other words, we become servants of everybody. Not servants of everybody's desires, but servants of everybody's real needs in the heart. The real needs are the spiritual needs. So we serve everyone in that respect. So when one does that, doesn't think that they're better than anyone else. You know, if I was to think, seeing that lady or seeing the man who hadn't taken a bath in 3 years in the bus, not 3 years, and I would think, oh, I'm much better. There's that tendency. especially when you have a specific religion, you look down on other people. Like if you may call people in a different religion infidels, kafirs, malachas. We have all these beautiful names for people, right? Shiksas, Shegas. That's a Yiddish name for non-Jewish people. Yavanas, Rakshasas, Heidegers. You know, if you use those names on people, you begin to see through the words. We actually see through language. So if I say, you're a Rakshasa, then how am I going to respect you? I have to see you as a devotee. Did you just forgotten it? As my family member, Yastu Sarvani Bhutani Atma Vain Anupashati, Sarva Bhutesha Chatmanam Tatogna Vikigukshate, Sisho Panishad. One in Krishna consciousness sees everyone connected. We're all connected. Connection. Spiritual connection. We're all connected with each other. We're all family members with each other. So we see like that. Oh, there's my brother. There's my sister. And she's suffering. I have to help her. You don't feel yourself better. Like if you see someone you love very much suffering, you don't think, hey, I'm better than you. You think, how can I help them? And that's really what humility is. So if one has that humility, and that humility is very much tied in with Lord Chaitanya's instruction that Yare Dekata Harikar Krishna Vadesha Marge Guru Hoy Tore De. Whoever you see, whoever you come in contact with, give them Krishna. And especially for those of you who are born in the land of Bharatvarsha, and you know that verse. What's the verse? That anyone who's born in the land of Bharatvarsha, they have the knowledge, even though they may not admit it, they have that responsibility. So, but we all have that responsibility. And when you do that, like, for example, Aditya Narayan Prabhu is very much dedicated to distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, so he's personifying that compassion. Right? So therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says these four qualities, we're finishing up with verse number 3. These four qualities are essential in becoming humble. And I'm going to list the four qualities that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the great Acharya, said. He said, humility, which we mentioned already, compassion, no mundane thoughts, and respecting others. Because mundane thoughts are based upon me, are actually what this material world can do for me. And respecting all others. So this is accomplished when we engage in the preaching of Krishna consciousness. Preaching, well, that word, sharing of Krishna consciousness. Connecting with each other in Krishna consciousness. And incidentally, Prabhupada defined violence as that which impedes or disconnects people from Krishna. If you're disconnecting people from Krishna, that's violence, that's spiritual violence. So if we connect people, well, of course Krishna does say in the Gita, no one is more dear to me than he who teaches this philosophy or the Bhagavad Gita information to others. So all this verses are very much connected to this particular verse of the Shikshastika. So if we reach out to others, we're compassionate towards others, and we think and love the persons we are trying to please, the spiritual master and Krishna, then naturally humility arises. But if we try to become humble, without that, you cannot become humble. You'll just become proud. I was thinking, before I joined Krishna consciousness, I was thinking about humility. And one time, I was thinking, boy, now I'm really humble. And as soon as I thought that, I understood that I wasn't humble. It was like a catch-22. You know, catch-22 means damned if you do, damned if you don't. So, it's like that. You know, think, wow, I've achieved spiritual perfection. Well, as soon as you think like that, you're not spiritually perfect. As soon as you think you're humble, you're not. So it means thinking less of yourself by thinking, to reiterate, compassionately, in love, humbly like this. So that's the second, third verse. Do we have time to go on to the fourth verse? What? Yes? No? Okay, so we'll go on to the fourth verse. Alrighty. There we go. Okay, we'll do this together. Nadanam najanam nasundarim kavitam bhajagarishakamaye mama janmane janmaneshvare vavadhad mokkirai tuki toye. Okay, and the translation. O Lord of the universe, I do not desire material wealth, materialistic followers, a beautiful wife, or fruit of activities described in flowery language. All I want, life after life, is unmotivated devotional service to you. So, this is talking about the beginning stage of something called ruchi. Ruchi means having a real taste for chanting. Not just liking to chant, but having so much taste that you don't only have taste when the person who is leading the kirtan chants nicely, but you have a taste for the chanting when the person leading the kirtan is chanting out of tune. That's a hard one, isn't it? That's why we find that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would sometimes have the devotee who had the worst voice lead kirtan. And the devotees were trained in that way, not to try to appreciate simply the sound vibrations of the vocal cords, but the holy name, the devotion of the holy name. So, in order to reach that stage, we have to come to something that Rupa Goswami described in Sanskrit as anyabhilashita shunyam, jnana, karma, anavrita. So, I'll translate that. That means having ananya, no other interest in life, no other impurities in the heart, and the three types of impurities that Rupa Goswami describes in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu are the impurities jnana. That means, jnana means the desire for liberation or the desire for knowledge. These are two types right there. Because many of us, we're suffering in this material world and we want to get out. But one has to give up that desire, jnana, and the desire just for understanding, having a lot of knowledge and being a big egghead. And then karma, gross enjoyment. Karma is pretty much described here. Dhanam, janam, sundaram. Dhanam means wealth. Janam means what? Followers. Sundarim, or sundara, means beautiful, let's say, loving relationships with other. Not loving relationships in terms of spiritual love, but just trying to enjoy someone's body. Sundari means beautiful lady. Sundara means handsome man. Okay? So these are the gross types of enjoyment. But the interesting thing is that one is cautioned, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who is a great teacher in our Sampradaya, that the more you make advancement in Krishna consciousness, these things may get offered to you. That's the problem. Like if you make advancement, you become sitting on a big seat like I'm sitting, then people may come and give some money. You may make Bill Gates a devotee, if you're lucky, or Donald Trump a devotee, if you're very lucky. And so people may come and give you money, and people become your followers. And then all these ladies are saying, oh, you're so spiritual. Like that. I remember when I was going to the university, I wasn't spiritual then. But I used to teach mathematics at the university because I was very good at mathematics. I remember teaching mathematics, especially how to use a slide rule. I don't know if anyone here knows how to use a slide rule. No. That's old school. Probably Madhava knows how to use a slide rule, right? No? You've heard of it. Anyway, I'm older than you. So, how to use a slide rule, and I remember the lady said, you know, he's so intelligent. you know, they're blinking their eyes at me like whatever that means. So even for mundane things, you know, you get followers and wealth and everything like that. So when you become spiritually conscious, these things happen. Spiritually advanced. Oh, what a great yogi you are. Om. Blessings. Okay. Like you have to, one of the things you have to learn when you become a sannyasi is how to raise your right hand properly. And do this mudra. Blessings. I was told when I, because I go on the internet and do preaching on Facebook Live, that Maharaj, every time you go on Facebook Live, you have to put your hand out like that and bless the audience, and they'll love it. So, hey, it's my guru talking about. My guru is one of my disciples, who's expert on Facebook Live. So, these things happen, so one has to be very careful in this world. It's not that one should just like throw away dana money, or people will come to them. But one has to be very careful to keep remembering that everything is meant for Krishna's pleasure. Krishna is the enjoyer. Bhogdaram japa. What is it? Bhogdaram dikatapasam, sarva loka maheshram, suridam sarva bhutanam gyatvamam shantim richati. So this is Krishna, 529 in Gita. Krishna says that one should understand he's the enjoyer, he's the proprietor, he's the Lord of all the worlds, and he is your friend, Surit, your good friend, your well-wishing friend. If one remembers that, then one can stay in this world and not be affected, like a lotus leaf has a waxy coating, cannot be affected by the water in which the lotus leaf is sitting. So this is Krishna consciousness. You remember this? This verse is very important. 529 is very important. To understand how to apply this particular verse in the Shastra. 529 Gita. Those of you who don't know the Gita, you can look it up later on. Chapter 5, verse 29. And one who is like that, then shanti, then you can become peaceful. And once peaceful, you can become happy. Because when the mind is agitated, you can't be happy. When you're peaceful, you can concentrate on Krishna more. So this is a very, very important point. And then, ultimately, pure devotional service is pointed out here. It's very similar to the verse, pure devotional service is pointed out here in Mama Janmani Janmanishvare. Wow. That means, I may take another birth in this world. But I only want to take a, I'm satisfied to take another birth. It's pure devotional service. I don't even want liberation. That's mukti. I am satisfied to take another birth if I can be your devotee. Even Bhaktivinoda Thakur, a great teacher, says that one, he would be satisfied taking a birth, Tita Janmohai, a birth as a worm, if the worm could be a devotee. I don't know how a worm could be a devotee, but how a worm could be a devotee. You know, chant Hare Krishna worm. Or at least a worm in the house of a devotee. Because that way you can eat prasadam all the time. That might, wouldn't be bad. Just like Prabhupada described, there was a rat one time. And the rat was going on the altar. Now usually we don't like that rat on the altar. But the rat did some service to Krishna. The rat enabled the D-lamp, which was going out, to stay lit. At the same time, the rat caught fire, went back to Godhead. So, Mama Janmani, Janmani Sure, Bhavatad Bhakti, Ahoitabhi. Whatever you want, Krishna, I'll serve you life after life. So, this is the same as Yanakarma and Abhitama. I don't want a liberation. I don't want anything in this world. But, Anukulyena Krishna, Shiranam Bhakti Uttamam. That I simply want to do what you want. Do it with a spirit of devotion. And be active at it, enthusiastic at it, that's also Utsan, then that's what's described in this verse. Also, Prabhupada translates another point here. He says, in addition to a beautiful wife, he says, or fruit of activities described in flowery language. So I just want to finish up with that. That means all these different Vedic rituals that people become very attached to, and enjoy all these flowery words. one should be simply attached to pleasing Krishna, not attached simply to the external form of the ritual, but to the utilizing the ritual to please Krishna. In other words, let's say if we become very attached to having a sika. Sika is a ritual. And so, oh, it's so nice having a sika. But we're attached. I'm attached to having a sika, as long as I can keep growing it. So I'm attached to having a sika because it pleases Krishna. So everything has to be connected with Krishna, the ritual, even though we do so many rituals, connected with Krishna. This is love. A devotee, we're going to end with this, a devotee is in love 24 hours a day. A real devotee is in love 24 hours a day. And that's Krishna consciousness. So I think we'll end here for today, and we have four more verses to do, which we'll continue with when I come back from some traveling. I'm going to be gone the next two Sundays. We're going next Sunday, we're going to New Orleans and the Taliban. New Orleans will be at next Sunday. And we're having a celebration in New Orleans. It's the 39th anniversary of my sannyas. That's on Monday. Monday, big party. New Orleans, because New Orleans is filled with devotees. Many New Bengal, I call it. A lot of devotees in Bengal are there. They like to celebrate with me. They like parties. And then the next week or two, I'm going to Europe, where we have our summer camp. It's a 10-day summer camp where devotees all stay together, and we have classes, seminars, kirtans, and ratha-yatra for 10 days. Pretty good, isn't it? Pretty good. And we're going to be giving a seminar on how to connect with Krishna. How to connect with Krishna, basically, through the heart. So, and you're all invited to watch that. It'll be posted on the internet, YouTube. So any questions or comments before we end? We'll have prasadam and get cooler. Questions, comments? Well, we don't know if someone's going to have a question. Oh.
I'm curious. And you may actually ask a question. You're the last saying the same thing, but I'm thinking about how you spoke about your consciousness, how you practice things over and over again to the point where you do things over and over again to the point where you can come originally to sit. And I thought it was a case of how we avoid that. And I think what you were saying, at least for me, reading like that, was to always.
Yes, we're connected. Is personal. It's not just ritualistic. So all we should be thinking why we're doing, what we're doing, for who we're doing. Why are we doing, what is already there, but, why are we doing it and for whom we're doing it? And whom should be Krishna, Krishna's representative, or saving, or someone else, one of Krishna's parts and parcels that we're trying to help. Trying to help. Just like Srila Prabhupada, he was always thinking like that. And sometimes he was chastising the disciple, not because he was controlled by anger, because he was thinking of whom he was trying to help come to Krishna consciousness. So his motivation was always like that. It was always why and whom. You've got to think of always the whys and the whom. Okay, that's good. Okay, I think it's hot unless someone else can. I think we should end now. Thank everyone for coming. We don't have so many people today because a lot of our devotees, or the majority of them, went to Ratha-yatra on a bus. And they didn't sleep much last night, right? Because there were crying children on the bus?
No, not at all. They were very good.
Oh, they were very good. A good child is a quiet child. So they were very good. And the devotees had a good time. And I was there at New York Ratha-yatra. I've never seen so many people in the Western world at a religious event at a Ratha-yatra. I couldn't even get near the carts. And I'm a sannyasi, I have seniority. So I couldn't even get near the carts. For a few minutes, I was able to get to pull a rope. The devotees let me pull the rope. But otherwise, it was just like overwhelming so many people. It was nice. Our movement is dramatically expanding. So, do you have a question? Okay, on that happy note, all glory is to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.